All right, and by now you know Tiger Woods hospitalized undergoing surgery after a single car crash at about 7:15 this morning in Palos Verdes. He sustained multiple leg injuries after a rollover accident this morning. And in just a couple of minutes, the L.A. County Sheriff's Office will hold a news conference to talk about all of the information they have about the details of the accident, what they know at least so far in terms of their investigation.
The car, by the way, has finally been lifted by crane off of the accident site. It is now being taken away by a tow truck, and that'll be part of what Alex Villanueva is, the LA County Sheriff, and he's the guy that's going to talk here in about 5 minutes. Just to let you know the reach or the pull of Tiger Woods, every local television station right now is on this story.
Yep.
Like on Channel 7, if I have DirecTV, if you hit your guide, Channel 7 is supposed to be showing General Hospital. They're on this. Channel 4 is the Kelly Clarkson Show. They're on this. Jerry Springer on Channel 5, they're on this. So that's how big of a story this is, not only in Los Angeles, but everywhere.
Not to mention cable, Fox News Channel, CNN, MSN. I mean, every single channel is on this. And that speaks to how powerful, how iconic Tiger Woods is in the world of sports and beyond the world of sports. You know, Tiger Woods is his reach. You know, you asked Michael Eaves a little while ago, Tiger Woods on the final day of a major golf tournament, is it worth ratings? How much in terms of it's unbelievable. It's exponentially. He is certainly at a particular point in history, and I guess you could still make this argument. He's definitely one of the top five sports personalities in the world right now, I would think.
Oh, yeah. And to again, I'll just give you a little inside baseball here. I used to work at Channel 2 and Channel 9, KCBS, KCAL. And the theory there was that you have two channels. You have, and they're both operating out of the same newsroom. And if you, let's say, every time you cover breaking news, it costs you money because you don't run any of the commercials.
Sure.
If you have two stations, at least one of them could continue to bring in revenue. So if you wanted to cover the breaking news on Channel 9, then you ran whatever, like right now, the Drew Barrymore show is supposed to be on Channel 2. The one exception was if the story was big enough, you had to cover it on both channels. You would throw the revenue out the window and break new, you know, run the breaking news on both channels. That is the case today.
Yeah.
On both Channel 2 and Channel 9, they're covering the Tiger Woods story. So everybody that basically, he has that type of gravitational pull. And Michael Eaves was also talking about how not only could you count on a certain amount of ratings if Tiger Woods was in contention on a Sunday, Michael said it was even more simple than that. If he was in your tournament,
yeah,
it would guarantee you ratings.
Cover every shot.
Whether or not he was in contention, you know, at the height of his gravitational pull, that's how big of a story he was.
Actually, before we get to the sheriff's press conference, and we don't know necessarily if that's going to start on time, but here is from yesterday, we played this. Tiger Woods appeared on the Genesis Open on Sunday with Jim Nantz on CBS. And here is that conversation.
Everybody wants to know how you're feeling, what you're doing since you've come off your fifth back operation. You feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine. I'm a little bit stiff. I have one more MRI scheduled so that we'll see if the annulus is scarred over finally, and then I can start doing more activities. But still in the gym, still doing the mundane stuff that you have to do for rehab, you know, the little things, and before I can start gravitating towards something a little bit more.
So as far as golf, what have you done since the surgery? Anything?
I have lengthened my putter.
Okay, right. Starts with that.
You know, I don't have to bend over as far. I've gone to the same length as my sand wedge.
So
because I putt I do a lot of putting drills, you know, blading, hitting the equator with my sandwich, and I figured, well, if I do a lot with that, why don't I just lengthen my putter to the same length? So I did, and it helped.
That's Tiger Woods, the golfer. Remember, Tiger Woods is also a dad. I'm sure his kids, Sam and Charlie, are worried and wondering about dad right now. That comes first and foremost for Tiger and for every family. At this moment, the golf career is sort of set aside. Will he be able to golf again is one of the questions I see on Twitter.
Mace, here's a significant update. And by the way, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, and we're coming up on 3 o'clock. We are expecting to join Alex Villanueva, the L.A. County Sheriff, with an update on Tiger Woods' crash. Initially, the Sheriff's Department said Tiger was extricated from his vehicle using the jaws of life. A spokesperson is now saying the jaws of life were not needed, and basically what they did was broke the windshield out. That's one of the characteristics, the things that he'll talk about. And now as I get a better look at the car.
Yeah, you can see the windshield busted out.
And you can also see that it's a courtesy car from Genesis, from the tournament. What happens is these golfers, when they come in to play a tournament, there's normally a automobile sponsor. In this case, the automobile was the title sponsor, Genesis. Makes you do some work with Genesis, because I think your friend John Patterson has a Genesis dealership.
Yes, he does.
That's the car Tiger was driving. He was driving a Genesis SUV courtesy car. And so we're getting, as the helicopters are getting shots of the car being driven away, you can tell that they completely broke out the front windshield, and we're being told pulled Tiger out through the windshield. So they took the glass out and pulled him through that way.
So no use of jaws of life, which was,
and I'm sure we'll get that clarified coming up here in a minute, but that's good news too. I mean, we're looking for any piece of good news you can get. I mentioned earlier, when you hear jaws of life, the next thing you're rooting for as soon as you hear that is that the injuries are not life threatening. And that's being reported as well. That a police source has told ESPN that the injuries were not life-threatening. And I think that it may be a while before we get a medical update on Tiger.
Yes.
But when we hear from the LA County Sheriff, we may be able to piece together exactly what happened. And as I'm looking at more video of this, the car did go down an embankment, but it was not, you know, some of that, Mace, you know, I go
it
to
it was not a ravine.
Yeah, and I go to Terranea a lot, so I'm driving around down there, and there are some parts of that drive. This was on Hawthorne Boulevard where Tiger got in the accident, but there are some parts of Hawthorne, and here we go with Alex Villanueva. Let's take it live.
It's LA County Fire Chief Daryl Osby. Now I would like to introduce the Sheriff of Los Angeles County, Alex Villanueva.
Thank you, Captain Mendoza. Today at 7:12 in the morning, Lomita Sheriff Station received a call of a solo vehicle collision in Hawthorne Boulevard, north of Palos Verdes Drive. We arrived on scene at 7:18 a.m. and discovered the solo vehicle collision, and the sole occupant was, again, Tiger Woods, and deputies. At the time, they did not see any evidence of impairment, anything that of concern. Obviously, the life-saving measures that had to be taken for the occupant of the vehicle, and Chief Osby will speak to that regard. And it was a solo vehicle. Unfortunately, during the course of the investigation of this, there was another traffic collision that happened with people being looky-loos. But that, thankfully, there was no injuries associated with that. The vehicle traveled several hundred feet from the center divider at the intersection and rested on the west side of the road in the brush, sustained major damage to the vehicle. You've seen all the images of that. And with that, our Lomita Sheriff Station will be conducting the traffic investigation, and it'll take from days to several weeks to get the whole thing together. Once the The investigation is completed. We will provide a detailed report. It'll be available, you know, based on Public Record Act request, and we will not discuss it any further after that point. But at this point, I want to introduce Chief Daryl Osby, LA County Fire Department.
Good afternoon. I'm Fire Chief Daryl Osby of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. At approximately 7:22 this morning, resources from Los Angeles County Fire Station 106 received a report of a solo vehicle accident at the intersection of Hawthorne Boulevard and Palos Verdes Drive North in Rolling Hills Estates. Upon arrival of the scene of the incident with sheriffs unseen, resources and personnel from the Los Angeles County Fire Department observed a single rollover vehicle incident with one person trapped. The person trapped was extricated by the Los Angeles County Fire Department personnel. Earlier, it was stated that the jaws of life was utilized to extricate the person trapped. It was later determined by our personnel that a Halligan tube, which is used for prying, and an axe was also used to pry the person free from the vehicle. The person was packaged at the incident in stable condition with serious injuries, and because of the fact that they needed to be extricated, they were transported to Harbor UCLA Hospital. Because of the extrication, and Harbor Hospital is also a trauma center. As indicated earlier, there's also a second vehicle accident with no injuries. Thank you.
And the vehicle involved is a 2021 Genesis. It's a mid-size SUV. Para Española, a las 7:12 de la mañana en la calle Hawthorne, rumbo al norte por la intersección de Palos Verdes Drive, hubo un accidente automovilístico de un solo vehículo.
This is LA County Sheriff Alex Villanueva repeating in Spanish what he just said in English. And Mace, as we talked about beforehand, it sounds like they didn't need the complete jaws of life. They were able to extricate him with a tube and bring him out through the windshield. And there was nothing in that report that Sheriff Villanueva said that there was nothing in the initial report that indicated impairment,
right?
Which I'm hoping is the case, because as you and I talked about earlier, the Tiger Woods documentary that you can now see on HBO, it's on HBO Max. He had an incident in Florida years ago where he was taking painkillers for injuries and then got in a car. And when I first saw this report, I was hoping that that was not the case again, obviously. And here he's going back to English. So let's listen in.
Good afternoon, Brother Sheriff. Sorry. Could you explain a little bit more? You were talking about the impairment, that there was no evidence of impairment. Can you be more specific about that? And you also made mention that life-saving efforts were performed. Can you be more specific about that?
Well, if the deputies arrive on scene, there's a vehicle that's rolled over. There's someone inside the vehicle. They can't remove them. Obviously,
okay, so
that's
what, unconscious or conscious?
We'll leave it at that. He was alive, and he was conscious, and that's the extent of that.
What about the evidence of the impairment? You said there was no evidence.
There was no evidence of impairment. So subsequent to that, we're not going to make any. There was no effort to draw blood, for example, at the hospital.
Nothing was removed from the scene or found at the scene.
No evidence of impairment at this point in time. But I'll let Chief Osby.
Chief Osby. Good morning. Was Tiger Woods conscious when you got there? Did he say anything to the paramedics who arrived? And can you tell us a little bit more, if we didn't use the jaws of life, how exactly did that extrication process take place?
Okay. The information I got back from my personnel and the things that they do is they would do a scene assessment. It was brought to my attention that he was conscious. Now, exactly what was said is unknown, but he was conscious. Our personnel make an assessment to make a determination of their level of consciousness, make sure that they're breathing, control any serious bleeding, and then control and address any serious injuries. It was brought to my attention that he had serious leg injuries, and that was assessed at the incident. The jaws of life are used as part of a package to extricate people that are trapped in vehicles. but it was later determined and brought to the attention that the jaws of life were not used to extricate Tiger Woods. We used a Halligan tool, which is a tool used for prying, and we also used an axe to pry him from the vehicle. He was taken from the vehicle with a collar and backboard for spinal precautions. He was had the proper splints. Because of the nature of the incident being a solar vehicle rollover and the fact that it required an extrication that met trauma center criteria, the nearest trauma center to the area is Harbor UCLA Hospital, where he was transported in serious but stable condition.
Which leg?
That I do not know. It was my understanding that he had serious injuries to both legs.
Chief, this was his decision to go to Harbor UCLA, or you took him to the closest emergency room. Given his condition at the time, was it that severe? That's what you had to do?
The determination of where to be transported was made by the paramedics and the captain unseen. The reason that Tiger Woods was transported to Harbor UCLA Hospital is because it's a trauma center criteria. Because of the nature of the incident, it was a solo roller vehicle and the damage to the vehicle, and then it also required him to be extricated. That's one of the criteria that meets trauma center criteria. Therefore, he was transported to the nearest trauma center, which is Harbor UCLA Hospital.
Was he airlifted, and can you tell us if he had injuries anywhere other than his legs, and were any of those injuries critical?
It was my understanding he was not airlifted. There were no other endangering injuries to my knowledge.
Sheriff, in a way, a question, if you would. I know it's a little early. The investigators haven't done all their stuff on that. But any indication of the speed at the time that the vehicle lost control over the center divider? All the reporters here have talked to Dave and saying you're going down that hill, you take your foot off the brakes, you're at 50 plus before you know it.
Well, at the time it made, it crossed the center divider to the point that it rested was several hundred feet away. So obviously that indicates they were going at a relatively a greater speed than normal. However, because it is downhill, it slopes, and it also the curves, that area has a high frequency of accidents. It's not uncommon.
Any skid marks or anything indicating that he tried to brake or stop?
No skid marks, no braking. So apparently the first contact was with the center median, and from there then cross into the opposing lane of traffic, hit the curb, hit a tree, and there was several rollovers during that process.
They haven't given you any kind of a preliminary indication in excess of 45 miles an hour.
That they're going to have to figure that one out. That's why the traffic investors make the big bucks that they make.
Sheriff, what can you tell us about his condition now? Are you still in touch with Mr. Woods' team?
We've reached out. We've been in touch with his manager, and they don't want to release anything on his condition right now.
We hear that he's out of surgery and perhaps been moved to his own room, Sheriff.
All we know that a serious condition as a result of the accident, and that's about all they want to say.
You're looking at weather as a factor in this accident, Sheriff Inouye?
Weather is not a factor. Well, we arrived on scene at 7:18. They were notified within 4 minutes, and
We got the call from the sheriff department at approximately 7:22 this morning. Our resources arrived on scene at approximately 7:28. I don't have the information right now in relation to how long it took to extricate him from the vehicle.
Do you have any indication if there were drugs or medications involved?
No.
Who called it in? Did someone call 911, a bystander? And is there any indication that was
We had a neighbor called 911. That's how the call was received at the station.
And you said no impairment. Did he fall asleep at the wheel?
No evidence of impairment this time. That'll be subject to the investigation.
You say no evidence of impairment. What impairments are you looking for?
Well, we're looking at signs of under the influence of either narcotics, medication, alcohol, odor of alcohol, all these different things that would give you an idea in their behavior, but there was none present.
And in medical episodes, here he could have fallen asleep, had a heart attack, something.
That, now we're going beyond what we have at the time, so the investigators will have to figure that one out.
I understand some vehicles now have essentially a black box that reports certain information about how fast the car is going, did airbags deploy, telemetry, that sort of thing. Did this vehicle have that? Will you get information from that in the investigation?
The investigators will be able to, if they have it, they'll be able to have that and download it, and that will give us a good idea.
Was any of you Snyder's team following the vehicle?
Not that we're aware of.
Sheriff, you said that he was conscious, I believe. Was he able to communicate how much pain he was in, whether or not, was he able to communicate at all?
He was able to communicate, and he was conscious. I'll leave it at that.
All right, so they're taking questions again in Spanish, but Mace, the one thing that didn't surprise me about what Sheriff Villanueva just said is that his people don't want anything released about his condition. That is very much typical Tiger.
Sure.
He values his privacy, doesn't want anybody speaking for him. I was encouraged by the fact that the sheriff said he was conscious.
Repeatedly
and that they
said
spoke
there were
him.
No signs of impairment.
Right.
Happened at a place where there is a high frequency of accidents.
I've driven down that road multiple times. Yeah, and if you're going too fast, particularly, and I'm not suggesting that he was doing this, if you're not completely focused, you know, if you're doing something, you're trying to answer a phone call, you're doing something else other than you should be doing, it's very easy for that median to sneak up on you. So there was nothing in that press conference that made me any more worried than I already was. I'm just rooting for the guy to come out of this with a good medical report. And again, all they'll say is serious. Somebody asked a question. We've heard a report that he could be out of surgery and in his own room, and they wouldn't even confirm that.
No, wouldn't confirm that. So we'll find out. Maybe Ramona Shelburne has more out there. She's actually at the hospital and that is Harbor City UCLA Medical Center.
Harbor UCLA Medical Center, which is, I'd say about 10 minutes from where that accident took place. It's close.
So that's L.A. Sheriff Alex Villanueva and Fire Chief Darrell Osby with the very latest on the Tiger Woods accident, which happened this morning at about 7:13 a.m. Now, I'm not sure if we've got Kiki standing by with traffic or not. We may have blown that, so we do not. We'll take a quick break. We're coming right back. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Covering the major story of the day, golf legend, 15-time major champion Tiger Woods involved in a one-car accident in Palos Verdes this morning at about 7:13 a.m. It was a rollover accident. The car absolutely smashed in what looks like a ditch. It's incredible that he survived, according to L.A. Sheriff Alex Villanueva, who we heard from just a couple of minutes ago, along with Fire Chief Darrell Osby. Tiger Woods was conscious at the scene. There were no signs of impairment. The jaws of life were not required. He was pried from the vehicle with a particular type of tube and an axe. His legs were splinted at the scene, and this happened at a place where there is a high frequency of accidents, John. And by the way, going back, the reporters were a little dogged here. Any indication that there were drugs or medication involved? The answer, a simple no.
Right, and I think more information will come out. And here's a part of the, once we went to a commercial, Sheriff Villanueva offered up a little bit more about how conscious Tiger was, and he actually asked the police to do something. Here's that part of the press conference from a few minutes ago.
Actually, made contact with him?
No, they did not. Sure. Now, there's a bluff. They're sitting about 20 feet above the place where the vehicle came to rest.
Okay, Sheriff, can you talk a little bit about if he was able to stand after he was taken out? Was he able to take a couple of steps? Can you talk a little bit about what that looked like?
He was not able to get up, no. That was not an option.
Did Tiger Woods ask you to contact anyone for him? Did he ask you to contact a specific member of his family or a specific member of his team that was here for the golf tournament at this point?
At a later time at the hospital.
At the hospital he did, but not at the scene.
Sheriff,
I'm sorry, sir. Can you clarify?
He did at the hospital, but not at the scene.
He asked you to contact.
Yes.
A member of his family.
Who was it?
A member of his team.
Oh, a member of his team.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Can you talk about the conditions inside the car? Was it cracked? Was it able to move at all?
Well, the interior of the cabinet of the vehicle was more or less intact. The front end was totally destroyed. The bumpers, everything was destroyed. Airbags deployed, all of that. And however, thankfully, the interior was more or less intact, which kind of gave him the cushion to survive what otherwise would have been a fatal crash.
Okay, so that's a little more information. Boy, Mace, it actually, I don't mean to be flippant here, but it Genesis comes off pretty good there. That you're able to, that the interior did not fold around
sure.
him, and that the airbags deployed, and Sheriff Villanueva going as far as to suggest that if he wasn't in that vehicle, perhaps he could have been killed.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, in terms of a safety vehicle, that's what you want. You want the airbags to deploy. You want the interior of the cabin, the integrity of that to stay safe. And you know, the sheriff speculating that had it not, that it probably would have been fatal.
Yeah. It sounds like, and he didn't identify the speed, but apparently that's coming over sort of a hill. Is that right, John?
Yeah, and it's a bluff. And if you're not, my best guess, because I've driven that a bunch of times, is that he hit the median. And if you hit the median, then you would careen out of control over to the right and down the hill. But there's a median there that splits the highway, and my guess is that's what he hit.
I should mention, normally we would have done the scoop today. The scoop brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Sort of breaking all format today with this enormous story,
yeah.
International story.
Right. And by the way, I wanted to duck this in because life's going to go on, you know, as we continue to get reports about this. They're going to name the All-Star Reserves for the NBA All-Star Game tonight.
Okay.
And kind of a cool thing, Mace, I think Julius Randle, who is a great guy, and of course played this first year, is going to make the All-Star team. The Knicks haven't had an All-Star since Kristaps Porzingis a few years ago, but he's put up career numbers across the board. 23 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists a game. Here's the biggest shock, shooting 41% on threes and 80% on free throws. He did not shoot threes when he's on the Lakers, didn't shoot that well from the free throw line. He has completely reinvented his game. He's such an easy guy to root for. So I'm hoping we get that news tonight. I also think, even though he's missed many, many games, I also think Anthony Davis is going to be named an All-Star Reserve since he's injured.
Be replaced on the team.
He'd be replaced. And I think the guy who will replace him is Zion.
Oh, wow.
So, which would be fun to have Zion in the All-Star game.
So if you think back then on the Lakers core group, both Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle have become All-Stars.
Right. Ingram won't make it this year. At least I don't think
so. But made it last year.
He could, by the way, I shouldn't say that. He could make it this year. And you're right. He did make it last year. Right. Well, there was never any doubt any of those guys could play, but the guy
right.
who's made the biggest leap is Randle. The Lakers took him seventh 1 year after 1 year at Kentucky, and he
and
didn't have an outside shot.
Broke his leg
shot.
In the very first game of the season. I was
right.
sitting right there.
He didn't have an outside shot, and he couldn't go to his offhand. He's left-handed. He couldn't go right. He has completely fixed both of those things. And just completely reinvented his game. And so I think both those – I think AD and Randle are going to get good news tonight.
That's great. That's
Paul
great.
George is also probably a lock. Damian Lillard's a lock. Donovan Mitchell's a lock. There's some really obvious ones. But those are the three. The three I'm looking for are Anthony Davis, Julius Randle. Ingram's got a shot, but I think if you take someone off the Pelicans, you're going to take Zion. Before
yeah,
you take it.
I would think so. Tiger Woods involved in a single car accident this morning in Palos Verdes, a rollover accident His agent, Mark Steinberg, released earlier that he is involved in a surgery right now. We don't know him to be out of surgery. There are no further details. The L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, has held a press conference. And one of the people who spoke at the press conference was the first deputy who arrived on the scene.
Gonzalez was actually the first deputy on scene, so he can perhaps clarify some of the questions that you may have. Go ahead, Deputy.
Good afternoon. I'm Deputy Gonzalez. I'm assigned to Lomita Sheriff Station. I'm the handling Deputy Carlos Gonzalez.
Thank you.
I was the first unit on scene, and I'm the handling deputy for this current traffic collision.
Deputy Gonzalez, could you speak to that question? There's an LA County fire captain who says that Tiger Woods was able to stand as they assisted him out of the vehicle. Is there any truth to the idea that he was able to stand?
Unfortunately, Mr. Woods was not able to stand under his own power. Our partners at LA County Fire were able to extricate him from the vehicle, and they put him onto a backboard. When I arrived on the scene, Mr. Woods was seated in the driver's seat. I made contact with him, and I ensured that he was able to speak to me. At that time, he seemed that as though he was still calm and lucid. I made the determination that it would be safer to wait for LA County Fire to help remove him instead of trying to remove him myself. I kept Mr. Woods calm until LA County Fire arrived on scene.
What did you do to keep him calm, Deputy?
I spoke to him. You know, I asked
conversation. Could you share it with us, please?
I asked him what his name was. He told me his name was Tiger, and at that moment, I immediately recognized him. I asked him if he knew where he was, and what time of day, just to make sure he was oriented. He seemed as though he was lucid and calm.
Was he concerned about his injuries?
He didn't seem concerned of his injuries at the time, which is not uncommon in traffic collisions. Many times people tend to be in shock. It's a traumatic experience, so it's not uncommon for people to be focused on unimportant things, or even if they are in pain, they might not feel it until much later.
So was the incident caught on your body cam?
Yes, my body camera was used per department policy.
Deputy, in the photos of the airbags, there's blood. We're trying to figure out everything that we're seeing. Did you see any injuries on him anywhere other than the legs as you were just assessing him on site?
I did observe injuries. I can't speak as to the nature of the injuries. I'm not a trained medical professional, so I can't speak to that. What I can say is that he was injured, and he was successfully removed and taken to the hospital.
And you saw that he had a seatbelt on?
He was wearing a seatbelt.
Did he have lacerations as well as the leg injury?
If he did, I was not able to see them due to his clothing.
You've seen a lot of car accidents. Do you think this type of car saved his life, or do you think like a cheaper car wouldn't have had to get
it? As mentioned by the sheriff, that specific stretch of roadway is one of our trouble spots. Our locals in Rancho Palos Verdes and Rolling Hills Estates know that it's a hot spot for traffic collisions as well as speed. In my experience as a deputy who is traffic trained and works a traffic car, I have seen many collisions. The nature of his vehicle, the fact that he was wearing a seatbelt, I would say that it greatly increased the likelihood that it saved his life.
All right, there you have it. There's Carlos Martinez, who was the first officer to report to the scene of the accident this morning in Palos Verdes. I was just putting myself in that guy's shoes right now. I mean, when he showed up for work this morning, he was not anticipating any of this, certainly. If you're an officer showing up at an accident scene and you find out that it's Tiger Woods in the car, I can't imagine what goes through your mind.
Right. And, you know, he mentioned that particular stretch is typically a hot spot for accidents there. The fact that Tiger was speaking, that he was lucid, that's encouraging to me.
All good signs.
Okay, and Mace, as he normally does, Sham Sharania has acquired all. I know they're not supposed to come out until later tonight, but he's got all of the All-Stars. So here's the All-Star reserves.
Okay.
For the All-Star game in the West, Anthony Davis, who will require an injury replacement. Zion made it anyway, so maybe Brandon Ingram replaces AD. We'll see. Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Paul George, and Chris Paul. Another possible injury replacement for AD would be Devin Booker. In the East, James Harden, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Ben Simmons, Nikola Vucevic, and, as I was hoping, Julius Randle. Randle. So Randle makes the All-Star team. AD makes the All-Star team. Paul George is on it. Chris Paul's on it. James Harden's on it. A lot of people saying this All-Star game was not a great idea, but they're going to play it, and that's who's going to be in it.
Yeah, they're going to do it. And there is some talk about the second half of the schedule is not released yet. So we know 72-game season, first half of the schedule. The Lakers, I think, have 5 games remaining on the first half. There was some talk, and I heard it discussed on ESPN today, the idea that instead of the All-Star break going from the 5th through the 10th, extending it until the 14th to give guys a little bit more of a break, given the fact that there were only 71 off days between the 2020 season and the 2021 season.
I think it's possible, but I also think that they've got, I mean, we're talking about, they're going on break on the 4th of March. Today's the 23rd of February. I think we're going to get the schedule tomorrow. I think it's going to go public tomorrow. And if not, if they're still discussing what you're talking about, I think for sure we get it by the end of the week.
Right.
I think we're going to know what the second half of the schedule looks like before we end our set of shows this week.
So now I don't know, you would know off the top of your head, given the rest of the opponents, because we know the opponents, we just don't know the schedule, right?
Right.
Given that, is the second half of the schedule harder or easier than the first half, or is it a wash?
I think it's a wash. Remember, they're playing every team 3 times. So, like, for example, Utah, who the Lakers are playing tomorrow night, will be on the second half of the schedule twice. So that makes it harder. There are some teams we're already done playing, like San Antonio we're done with. So, I mean, if you want to go through it with a fine-tooth comb, you can see. But I think kind of in the end, it's a wash. And when I say 3 times, I mean the Western teams 3 times. The Eastern teams, you're only going to play home and home. So, for example, you'll play you'll play the Knicks once in New York and once in L.A. But the other teams you'll play 3 times.
Shams further tweets, notable all-star snubs. Trae Young, Tobias Harris, DeMar DeRozan. Now, Anthony Davis is out, which means that Devin Booker or, I guess, DeMar DeRozan could be selected to replace him. But Trae Young, that's surprising.
No Mike Conley. Utah team that is, basically set the world on fire.
Yeah, having an amazing season, Mike Conley has bounced back from last year. Well, and the biggest story of the day is the terrible accident involving Tiger Woods, a one-car automobile accident this morning in Palos Verdes. Happened at about 7:15 this morning. It was a rollover accident. The car, it was an SUV, actually a Genesis 2021 SUV, smashed down into what looks like a ditch. Looking at it, it's amazing that he survived. Tiger was conscious when he was reached at the scene. There were no signs of impairment, according to L.A. Sheriff Alex Villanueva. He was pried from the vehicle, not using jaws of life, but using some kind of tube and an axe. He was not able to stand. There were no indications that there were any drugs or medication involved. And this happened at a particular place in Palos Verdes where there is a high frequency of accidents. And, John, you know this area well.
Right. I go up there all the time, and it's interesting to me that not interesting, but because it's typical, but there's clearly more information about Tiger right now, this hour,
yeah,
that true to his brand, they're not saying, there was one report that he could be out of surgery in a private room. But they are, he has always been, I mentioned earlier in the show, he had a yacht, I assume still has it. And the name of on the boat was Privacy.
Sure.
This guy values his privacy. So, I'm sure he is looking at all the TV trucks outside of the hospital, wondering when he's going to get his privacy back. And it won't be anytime soon, Mace, until we get an update on his condition.
Yeah. And as of this moment, we're hoping to catch up to Ramona Shelburne before we finish the show today. She's actually at the hospital. And it'll be curious to know what she's been able to find out. As far as we know, it's not reported that he's out of surgery. The way it's been phrased is that he is undergoing surgery. So we don't even know if that surgery is done. I think the big takeaway from this is, and John, you referenced the fact that this is getting wall-to-wall coverage on every television network and TV station and radio station and all that stuff, is the impact that Tiger Woods has had on the world. He is, for good and, you know, for at times not, is one of the most iconic sports personalities of our lifetimes. His game is one thing. His personality actually transcends the game. His force in terms of marketing with Nike, one of the first prominent, well, the first golfer to ever sign a deal with Nike, made him just a marketing superstar. And it's unbelievable the impact he's had.
Which is why this is such a big story today. Hey, you know, another story, we would have gotten to all this stuff if we were doing a normal show. The Tiger thing kind of took us for a left turn. But, you know, you've said many, many times that you're super anxious to get back out and start living your actual life. You know,
Give me my two shots.
Well, did you see the vaccine companies came out today and vowed that they will have enough shots available for all adults by the end of July?
Wow.
And if that's true, and other people take the attitude that you've taken, that they will get back to normal, you'll be in SoFi Stadium with fans when the Rams open in September.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
And potentially there would be fans at Staples Center for the NBA Finals if the Lakers make it.
And remember, even Stan Kasten, in a video to season ticket holders, I guess it was late last week, early this week, said he anticipates, he is hopeful that there will be Dodger fans at opening day at Dodger Stadium this year. He said they're working with local and state health officials to try to make that happen.
And that's around April 1st, right? Opening
Correct.
Day?
Correct. Yeah. Bill Shaken, is Bill Shaken still with the Times or is
yes.
he with Yahoo?
No, okay. He's the lead baseball writer for the LA Times.
Okay. So apparently people who have season tickets for Dodger Stadium are beginning to put their seats on StubHub and Vivid Seats. So remember, this first home game, if fans are allowed, will be an unbelievably tough ticket because probably the you would assume that the capacity will be limited, but at the same time, the banner will be unveiled. It will be ring night for the Dodgers. So there are people on secondary ticket markets like StubHub. They've listed 20 tickets for sale for the April 9th home opener against Washington at prices ranging from $1,450 to $9,000.
Wow.
The latter price is for a seat on the reserved level. So to get in there, now I don't know how you actually decide who gets in. In other words, if I have season tickets, who's to say my tickets are the one that gets that
I
get
think
me
they
in?
Would rotate by section. In other words, like you have awesome seats.
Yeah.
But they would tell, like, I don't know if you're in an odd row or an even row, but I would think they would alternate so you would have an empty row in front of you. And the seats next to you, they would have to have a couple of empties. So I think they're just going to spread it out so you'd be part of a rotation.
Can you imagine $9,000 for a single seat on the reserve level?
Well, here's another thing. You know, the Lakers haven't revealed their banner for last year's championship.
Yeah.
They're waiting until they get fans back in the building. Can you imagine them doing it on the opening night of the finals or maybe the opening night of the playoffs?
Crazy.
And then that ticket becomes a big ticket item.
Yeah, you know, I've become very, very optimistic. I feel like there's light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like it is getting better out there for a lot of us. The vaccines are going into arms, as they say. I'm in line at UCLA virtually. To get my first shot. My mom and my not-stepdad, Leo, both are getting their second shots this week. And you know what they're going to do next month? They're just going to go to Florida. You know what? They are protected. They've got the vaccine. They're going to travel. And I don't blame them. I think that a lot of people, after you know, we get our vaccines, and I guess some people are not. You're going to get it, aren't you?
As soon as I'm eligible, yeah.
Yeah. Some people have hesitancy about it, but as soon as I get my vaccines, my two shots, I'm going to live my best life, man. I'm getting out of the house. I'm going to do stuff
again. So have you heard
this?
I've heard that there are people, like, I don't know what pharmacy is closest to you.
Yes, I've heard this.
But they are, let's just say, hanging around at the pharmacy at the end of the day because these vaccines have an expiration.
And to see if somebody didn't show up for their appointment.
Correct. Saying, do you have any extras?
Yeah.
And the story I heard, and I haven't verified this, so don't hold me to it, but the story I heard is if you get the first shot, like you're hanging around, they have some vaccines that are going to go unused, so rather than not using them, they'll take standbys, for lack of a better word.
Yep.
So let's say you and I are standbys at CVS, you know, and they say, yeah, we've got a couple of extras. And we get them. If we get the first shot, that automatically puts us in line for the second one 28 days later, which
yes.
makes sense because you wouldn't want to waste it.
Yeah. In fact, I'm.
You thinking about doing some loitering?
I'm skulking around my pharmacy this afternoon. You know how Michael Thompson is with the gym over at the Ritz-Carlton or over at the JW?
Right.
He lurks around hoping that somebody will leave the door open and he can sneak into the gym. That's what I'm going to do at the pharmacy. I'm going to skulk around the pharmacy near the pharmacist's office and hope that somebody doesn't show up for their appointment. I would take it as soon as possible.
Part of me would have some guilt over
taking it. Well, no, it's going to go to waste.
Hmm.
Right? It's going to go to waste anyway. So they've got to give it to somebody. And I'm in that
tempted.
Next cutoff. You're in that next cutoff. I think it's 65 plus now, and then it's going to be 50 to 60. So you and I are both in that next group.
Hmm.
And then, by the way, it goes 18 to 49. That's when it's going to get
That's when Lindsay and Jorge have a green light. That's
everybody 18 to 49, well, just open the doors.
Jorge, Brenda already got hers, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Did she have any symptoms from the second one?
From the second one, it was body aches, and then her arm was hurting. She said it was really painful.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
Got swollen and whatnot, but it was painful for her. But with body aches, but after 2 days or so, like she felt fine.
Yeah, and now it must feel great.
Yeah, but she still wears a mask because none of us have gotten the vaccine yet.
Well,
so.
Do you? I think we're all going to be wearing masks even after the vaccine. Mace, you're still going to wear a mask after the vaccine shot.
I am because they don't know if you can pass. The virus off to somebody else.
I think there are two things that are going to be a way of life moving forward. I think handshakes are over.
Yeah, they're done
forever. I don't think that as long as you and I live, Mace, that we'll be shaking hands with people.
That's so 2020.
Has anyone offered their hand for a handshake to you in the last 3 months? Two people have done it to me. One I shook out of habit.
Habit, yeah.
And then the other one I just made a fist. I go, let me give you one of these.
One time and no.
Yeah.
One time and no.
And you didn't shake.
I've adopted the salute. The little salute is going to be the way I greet people now.
I was introducing two people that had not met before the other day, and the one of them, I said, hey, Jeff, this is Paul. And he stuck his hand out, and I felt bad because I'm the one introducing him. And the other guy caught it, goes, let's do elbows. So he was ready for it. But if you're listening and you haven't had that happen to you yet, it will. Somebody who just doesn't know any better will stick out their hand and offer you to shake it. That's when you come back with the fist or the elbow. All right. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have more of a normal show. But Christopher McDonald, Shooter McGavin's coming on tomorrow. And Mace, Utah Lakers, this looked like the biggest game of the year 3 weeks ago. We'll get you ready for it and tell you what it is now coming up.
Yep. And don't forget, stick with Sedano, LZ, and Cap. They will keep you up to date on every bit of news that comes out with the Tiger Woods accident. That wraps it up for us today. This is Mason in Ireland on 710 ESPN.